Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Well, we're just days away from learning what our summer will look like as authorities mull over the latest plans for lifting the lockdown. The usual tensions remain between the National Public Health Emergency Team and the government. But are there any surprises on the cards? And with a million first doses of the vaccine administered, can we expect any greater freedoms after the decisions are made on Thursday? In a moment, I'll be getting an update from some business owners who say they're still confused about the mixed messages coming from government. But first, I'm joined on the line now by Jack Horgan-Jones, political reporter with the Irish Times. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Claire.
Your paper reporting this morning that the government will resist pressure to accelerate this planned summer reopening of the country amid concerns about a potential spike in infections. But it is the government ministers themselves that have been flying the kites, because we heard Antonis de Leo Varadkar mentioning a return to gyms and indoor dining. The Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney raised the prospect when asked of foreign travel for vaccinated people late in the summer in the autumn. Have they got our hopes up only to force NPHET to shoot them down again?
I think that what's driving this, and you're right, I mean, the kind of about turn in ministerial pronouncements over the last week or 10 days has been quite remarkable. And I think that what is driving that, as is often the case in COVID times, is the numbers. You know, if you look, for example, at yesterday's caseload of 429, I mean, that's significantly higher than the last two previous Sundays, 269. Last Sunday, and 303 cases the week before that. And obviously, in between last Sunday and the Sunday before, we had that big spike when we had 617 cases in a day. So where there was a kind of gathering momentum a week or 10 days ago, I think the prospect of a giveaway set of relaxations seems to have receded over the last little while. And I think that we'll, as we move through this week, more than likely see the government sticking to the script that it outlined. So we might see things like click and collect coming back next month, the resumption of construction, but not much outside of what has already been signalled. That doesn't mean that there won't be a big expectation and a lot of pressure on the government to outline in more concrete terms what the rest of the summer might look like, what we can expect to do in June and July and into August, and give those kind of signals to businesses, particularly in the hospitality sector, of what kind of flow of custom they might expect over the summer, and indeed give people that bit of a carrot to aim for, because we've been obviously locked down for the guts of 4 full months now. Give people something to look forward to, give people a little bit of hope to take a peppermint step into summertime.
Yeah, because Taoiseach saying yesterday that outdoor is a theme for the summer, but there are contradictions even in that, because NPHET sees huge differences between one household meeting outdoors in a park with another compared to the same people meeting up in one of the party's back garden.
Yeah, and there's something of the kind of trying to hold back the tide here. I think that anyone who takes a walk through one of the public spaces over the weekend will have seen a degree of mixing that clearly extends beyond two households. So I think that there's a lot of kind of grey areas in how people are observing the rules at the moment. And, you know, the fear, I think, is that if you allow people to mix in gardens, then that same kind of grey area will replicate itself and people will push it a little bit further. And also then there's obviously the fear that once people are in gardens, they'll be going inside, they'll be using bathrooms and all the kind of slippages will emerge and that could drive another wave. So I think that while there is probably a tacit acceptance that people aren't tightly observing all the rules at the moment, there is that fear that if they relax them too much further, that people could really lose the run of themselves altogether.
I just heard Cliona Ní Chealaigh speaking on Brendan O'Connor's programme yesterday, saying that most people, if they were in somebody else's back garden, would be very careful about using the facilities in the house. You know, most people would be sensible enough to put a mask on when they go inside, to clean the bathroom, reserve, you know, a downstairs toilet, maybe under the stairs for the people who were guests in the house. There may be some way to give people a little more, to put more confidence in people to do the right thing.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, people will become increasingly frustrated that there is this kind of overarching sense that they can't be trusted. And I think that there will be that kind of pressure bubbling up from below, and people will start pushing back against things like the ban on inter-county travel. People will say, well, you know, if I can meet one other household at a public attraction that's open within my county, and my children, for example, haven't seen their grandparents who live two counties over since Christmas, perhaps, you know, why can't we travel and meet at the county in the middle? Why can't we travel and do the same thing in other people's counties that we can do in our own? So I think that kind of pressure to form a kind of a framework where people can live more realistically and live with a little bit more freedom is something that the government is going to have to manage. And that's why I think they have to outline with a greater degree of clarity and certainty exactly what people will be able to do into May and June.
Okay, and then there's the vaccine bonus, the dividend that people will enjoy from being fully vaccinated, which the Chief Medical Officer said last week, that he's going to be placing an emphasis on that. That's going to put a lot of pressure in turn, though, on the vaccine rollout.
Yeah, this was one of the things that wasn't flagged at the end of March and into April. It came as a little bit of a surprise when it was announced that two vaccinated households could meet up indoors. And I think it was a welcome surprise and certainly will be a respite for a lot of those people who have been shielding throughout the last year or so. But as you correctly say, while it's welcome, it also makes clear that the benefits of vaccination are accruing to a relatively small amount of people. And it increases the pressure on the government to increase the rate of vaccination. And it will also, I think, bring into sharper focus the kind of disparities within the vaccination program. For example, those between 60 and 69, obviously, will be getting their AstraZeneca jabs at the moment. But there's a 3-month or more gap between those shots. So somebody getting a shot of Pfizer today will be able to enjoy all those vaccine bonuses and benefits a lot more quickly than someone getting AstraZeneca. And indeed, someone, if the Janssen single shot vaccine is approved, I mean, that's kind of one shot and you're done, and you'll be able to do things in a matter of days or weeks thereafter.
Yeah, NIAC is meeting today on that, isn't it, on the Johnson & Johnson, but we're not sure whether we'll get a decision from them.
Yeah, so, I mean, all we know firmly is that it'll be the early part of this week. Okay. And I think that certainly last week and over the weekend, there was a lot of hope that it will be today, but there's no clarity on that yet. And indeed, there is some sense perhaps already that it could move into tomorrow before we get clarity on the J&J vaccine.
All right, Jack, thank you very much indeed for joining us. Jack Horgan-Jones there. And as I said, we're going to be talking now to some of the business owners who say they're still confused as to what they're going to be allowed do and not do. And Claire Nash is with us, Director of the Cork Business Association and owner of Nash 19 in Cork. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning, Claire.
So what do you think? Do you hope to see outdoor dining return by the end of next month, the end of May?
Yeah, we do. I think just as Jack said there, there's no holding back the tide now. The weekend has given us the clarity on that everybody wants to be in outdoor space, that outdoor dining, outdoor socialising. You know, I think that it's time now that the practitioners stepped up to the plate, let us display and how we can do it.
And you say that because you were in Kinsale last night and you saw everybody out enjoying the nice weather.
Yeah, I actually live in Kinsale and everybody was out. It was actually, if you didn't realise it, you would think it was business as usual, except for the fact that there was lots of gatherings throughout the day. Everybody just wants to be out, Claire, and we feel now is our time to help the government navigate our recovery in a regulated manner. In Cork City, where I trade, there's huge progress being made. There's 17 streets being pedestrianised, but it's pedestrianised. You know, the public spaces are pedestrianised, but the next process that we need a little time to get in place are the licences. The Cork City Council have waived our fees for street furniture licence this year. It should be access for all, provided that your insurance, your permissions, everything is in place. And Claire, that can't be just done in a week. So we actually had a meeting with the Minister Michael McGrath on Friday with the Cork Business Association, and we pointed this out. Like, the last thing we want to do is to force an opening that forces closure again. That's not an option.
So you've been planning since March of 2020, the big eat on the street plan. That's all there. But you're saying you need time then, lead-in time.
Well,
you need
all
notice.
Of us, you know, I mean, like, we're only one street, but I know a lot of my colleagues, they're all, you know, trying to access furniture. There's a big supply chain issue and hold up now. We're trying to get our staff back. Like, we want to do this properly, Claire, and we want to. I mean, this is what we do very well. But at this point, we have to provide those spaces for people to socialise in another way, including our bars.
All right, Claire. Thank you very much. Claire Nash there in Cork. And I'm joined on the line by wedding planner Tara Fay. Good morning, Tara.
Good morning, Claire.
So the reason we wanted to talk to you is the headline on the front of today's Irish Independent says, mass confusion. Plan for 50 in a church, but not at weddings or funerals. So do you have any indication of what, if anything, might be announced on Thursday with regard to weddings?
No, I mean, at this stage, I think we'd just be delighted if weddings are even acknowledged and spoken about in the next announcement. On the last announcement, they weren't even referred to. And I think for a lot of couples that have already rescheduled 3, 4, maybe sometimes up to 5 times for this summer, all they want to know is, can their wedding go ahead? And if it can, at what numbers? So, for example, I know that that funerals are now up to 25 people, but weddings are still at 6, and we have no indication of when that is going to change. So any of the correspondence that I've received from any of the government departments have said that we'll be following the Living with COVID plan. But the Living with COVID plan actually says that, you know, congregation of bigger numbers of people in uncontrolled environments, it gives rise to greater risk of transmission, and that certain life events, such as weddings and funerals, are acknowledged as having greatest priority. So they're being given special status. But yet weddings still have not even been referred to in any of the recent announcements. So I think all that couples want to know is, when will weddings go to 25 people? Are we going back to the Living with COVID plan where we will be at level 3? We have 25 people. What is that dependent on? And then also, if it is 25 people, what does that wedding look like? Because there has been no consultation at all with the wedding industry. And I think that we can't just accept that most weddings happen in churches and in hotels, because there's such a wide variety of weddings and different types of ceremonies and different types of weddings. Yeah. And if we have guidelines, they have to cover the whole of the wedding industry, and not just hotels.
It's interesting what you say about levels, because I assume now that we're at level 5. Well, we know we're at level 5, but as more and more reopening of society happens, are we still at level 5, or are we moving through the levels now over the coming weeks?
Well, if we look at what level 4 says, it says exemptions for funerals are up to 25 mourners, and that's at level 3 and at level 4. And then for training for children for outside is level 4. So it's difficult to know, have we created a new a la carte version of the levels, because that is what's being seen to be happening. And if that is so, well, then that is fine. But I think if we're doing an a la carte version for everything, well, then it should, you know, be across the board, or who's making the decisions. Because it's, and we're not saying that, you know, we're not asking to rush reopening in of any description. But I think we just need to look at the reality of, when will weddings, and I'm sorry to be very selfish and just think about weddings, but that's just what couples are asking me to get clarity for them, because they want to know, if they've booked weddings for June, is that going to happen in any meaningful numbers, or is it 6 people still?
And you're getting asked that many times, aren't you?
And I'm getting asked hugely, and I know, like, even just couples that contacted me over the weekend, I'm sure all of their local TDs are sick about hearing about weddings, because they have received letters and correspondence in hundreds from many constituents.
You haven't been given any answers on why there will be 50 allowed in a church, we're presuming, but not at weddings or funerals. I mean, you can't even say now that that decision might be made because of what happens afterwards, and the dining, and the fact that indoor dining won't be available to people.
Well, one would have assumed that, you know, weddings were going to be linked to indoor dining, but then who knows? Because, as you say, that if churches are going to be allowed 50 people, does that mean that somebody can have a 50-person wedding in a church, but then they go down to 6 people when they celebrate afterwards? Because that doesn't necessarily make sense. And also, the other thing with weddings is that weddings have a 3-month notice period involved. So it's not just a case of you can get married next week, because you can't actually get married next week. You have to file notice with the registrar, and the registrars are already busy enough without having this tsunami of requests put down on top of them. So I think it's just the clarity for couples, so that they can understand, and also for government to understand, that not all weddings follow a simple format.
Tara, thank you very much for joining us. Well, somebody with a little bit more clarity is Killian McLaughlin, founder of Wild Ireland, better known as the Bearman of Buncrana, and he joins me on the line now. Killian, it's a good day for you today.
Absolutely. Great news, and the news that I've been waiting on. We're allowed to open from today, Claire, which is fantastic news.
And you're not opening today, though. You're putting a few more days into getting things ready.
Absolutely, yeah. The everything was put on pause with when the lockdown happened. So obviously we're in a mad rush here to get things finished and get things ready. We're improving all the time here, trying to improve the lives of the animals that live at Wild Ireland. And we've just a few little finishing touches to do before we open the gates on Thursday.
So Thursday is the day. I wonder how the animals will feel. I was asking the director of the zoo about this on Friday. How will the animals feel about people coming back?
Yes, I think they'll be delighted to see the animals or to see the visitors coming back. You know, it's been a very quiet time in the park, and the animals that live here love interacting with the public. They love cocking their noses in the air and smelling who's coming up and whatnot. So it'll be fantastic to see the reaction of the public coming back to see them.
I know you have an otter there who would come out every day to see everybody when you were open, but it seems as though that otter quite enjoyed the time when there weren't visitors there.
Indeed, Claire, she used to come up. You can probably hear the wolves howling here in the background.
I can. Have they been fed?
they can hear me talking, and they're singing to me to come up and say hello to them. So, yeah, the animals here love interacting with the public. The otter used to come out every day, and she's more or less reverted to being nocturnal. We haven't seen much of her during the day. So when the visitors come back, she's obviously going to spend a lot more time interacting, and that's all great stimulation for her as well, mental stimulation, and that's what it's all about, enriching the lives of the animals here at Wild Ireland.
I'm fascinated just listening to the wolves in the background calling you to come up and talk to them. We watched Wolf Walkers in our house at the weekend, which sadly missed out on the Oscar last night. What are they like? Are they, I mean, if they're calling for you to interact with them, are they friendly creatures?
They are. You know, the myth of the big bad wolf is really unfound. In the wild, wolves tend to avoid people at all costs. They know that we pose a lot more risk to a wolf than a wolf does to us. You know, they're not the big bad wolf from the fairy tales.
Yeah.
They're very social animals, very family orientated, very intelligent animals. And each animal in the pack has its own role. And, you know, even the idea of the alpha wolf has kind of been dismissed. If you had an overly aggressive animal in a pack that was bullying the other members of the pack would gang up on them and kick them out. They're quite like us. They're social, and they work together, and each one has a role, as I said, and they're just fantastic creatures. And to think that they were here, I mean, this sound that you can hear in the background is a sound that our ancestors would have been very familiar with. It's only a couple 300 years since the wolf went extinct in Ireland, so the sound that you can hear in the background there is something that our great-great-grandparents would have been all too familiar with at night time. On a still night in Ireland, you can imagine it would have been a fantastic thing to hear.
Have they stopped there now as we're talking?
They have, yeah.
Somebody must have gone to chat to them.
yeah.
Well, listen, they seem fairly desperate to have a conversation with you, Killian, so we let you go, and the best of luck on Thursday with
Great.
The reopening of Wild Ireland.
Look forward to welcoming everybody back again.
Good stuff. Thanks very much
thanks
for talking to us. Killian McLaughlin, founder of Wild Ireland, otherwise known as the Bear Man of Buncrana. Let's take a break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.